At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten and I'm stood outside Old Trafford ahead of the league game between United and Crystal Palace. We're hoping that the rain stays off because we're selling United We Stand. We're hoping for another win for the team following wins at Burnley and Palace midweek in the League Cup. I've just bumped into Binsey. How are you doing, Binsey? How are you seeing United at the moment?
I love United. Win, lose, draw. When we get relegated, I couldn't give a flying. I love United. But at the moment, back Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Why can't Garnacho get a game? See, Marcus, I'll drive him to PSG. I can get a bit of discount on the tunnel, you know what I mean? My mate bought shares in it. I'll get him on the fucking boat train. No problem.
Right, right. Let's just slow down now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think most United fans do back Ten Hag.
Yeah.
In answer to your question with Garnacho, when he did start him, he didn't do great at the start of the season. So that's how he sees it.
Who, Ten Hag?
No, Garnacho.
When oh, he started
matches. Yeah. And Marcus, you're not impressed by his form?
Not.
So far this
oh, he's all right at driving fucking Bentleys into lampposts. Can't he fucking score a goal now and again for us?
You said that one of your friends had bought shares in the Eurotunnel.
Yeah. And you know him.
I know him, do I? But you're not going to name him.
I'm late.
Okay, yeah, I do know him. Yeah. And what I would say about him, he's an extremely
all right,
extremely shrewd person.
Very
now,
shrewd.
Now, him buying shares in Eurotunnel, this podcast has taken a very early twist. What, does that get you discounts?
Yeah, you get on the thing for a pound, but I'll take Martial as well. I'll take the two of them there.
You're not having them both?
No.
Not at all?
No,
not
no,
at all.
Fucking useless.
But Marcus, Rashford had a good season last season, though. How did you feel when he signed that new contract?
I'm not interested in the contracts they sign. It's all greed based, isn't it? Greed. Greed. Well, how much is he on a week? He wants to start showing why he's getting paid the big bucks.
He's not had a great start to this season. But tell me about him last season.
Forget, Andy, we're starting to sound like fucking Scousers. Forget last season, it's gone.
I know that, but everyone goes through a patch.
Yeah.
Where they're not doing well.
Yeah.
You know, some of the greatest
players.
Well,
wasn't
he
hesitating about signing the contract? I think the only reason why they made him sign it is so he doesn't fuck off or nothing. Get rid. You don't want to come here, get rid.
You being an Ancoats lad, you might.
Hardwick, come on now, Hardwick.
Sorry. I apologise.
Starts
for that.
With an A, but you got that right.
I do apologise genuinely for that because I know these things matter. I thought you might have more empathy for a fellow Mancunian.
He wants to start acting like a fellow Mancunian, doesn't he? You know what I mean? So, anyway, how did his Bentley hit the lamppost? What happened there? Was he racing Bruno?
Pass.
Right. And I tell you what, we were lucky.
He was lucky.
To get out of, not fucking worried about that, to get out of Burnley with a 1-0 win.
But we did do.
Yeah, we did.
Great finish.
Yeah, that's all he done.
Great. Bruno.
Yeah, that's all he done.
Great set up from Johnny Evans.
And I thought, what are we getting Johnny Evans for? But I tell you what, he was man of the match against Burnley.
Yeah?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
Johnny.
Well, he's a red, isn't he? But, I mean, we shouldn't be bringing 35-year-olds.
I'll get that. I mean, he was brought in as an emergency. I wrote a piece about him.
I'm fucking glad he was there against Burnley.
I wrote a piece about him this week because I knew his backstory and I'd spent time with his family. And people were saying we shouldn't have signed him back. I said, well, all I've said is he's been brought in as a backup and he's done well as a backup. I'm not saying he should be United Central.
He was man of the match at Burnley.
He was great.
Brilliant.
Loved it. Great to see.
Steady Eddie.
And did all right against. Against Palace when you came on the other day. Hey, listen, last time I saw you, I invited you to come and see our Talk of the Devils podcast in Manchester.
So you want to know the truth?
And you let me down.
I fucking forgot.
You forgot?
Yeah.
Binsey,
I was 65 yesterday, Andy. My fucking memory's not as good as it
used to be. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're a pensioner now?
Next year.
They've changed it, haven't they?
Yeah.
If you're in France, you would have been a pensioner for about 15 years. Yeah. Because you can retire.
Well, next, I'll pack my things and I'll... Go on.
I put you as my guest on the guest list.
I know.
We sold out, Binsey. 500 people in the new Century Hall.
Well, you're going to do it again then, aren't you?
I'll invite you next time.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you a man of culture, Binsey?
Very cultured.
You know the theatres and... of Manchester. Have you been in the new Century Hall before? My mum said in the 60s that was the place, that was where Jimi Hendrix played.
Right. That was a bit before me. I was in it when it used to be a disco on a Friday night.
What was it like on a Friday
night?
For
the youth of Manchester.
Yeah.
Just what it was, a disco for kids, really. You know what I mean?
No problems.
But I love going to museums and touring. I was in Madrid the other week, you know.
Where did you go? The Prado?
Everywhere. My wife knows. I don't fucking know.
What, did you just follow her?
Yeah.
So she says we'll go to a museum?
Yeah.
And you just
go,
follow her?
Yeah, I'm happy
but
to
you
go.
But you don't know which one you're in?
No.
Well, what were you looking at in Madrid? Reina Sofia? Was it that one? The art one?
Fucking... No, the King's fucking palace or something.
Oh, you went to the King's palace?
Yeah.
You like it?
There's only one king, that's Dennis. I want to see his palace, not the fucking King's palace in Madrid.
So... You went with your partner to Madrid for a weekend?
Yeah.
Whose idea was it, yours or hers?
No, I don't like getting on aeroplanes anymore.
Right, so she dragged you to Madrid.
Yeah.
You get off Madrid.
Well, we were at the tennis. We like a bit of tennis.
Jeez, this podcast is taking several turn-ups for the books here. So you went to watch tennis in Madrid, which sounds very middle class.
Yeah.
And what were your impressions of the Spanish capital?
Too fucking hot for me.
It's a great city, no?
Lovely. I love Spain.
I was there
anyway,
last weekend. I was in Madrid last weekend.
I love Spain. I love it. I love down the south, me. Marbella.
Palace. Memories of going to Palace away. Have you ever done it? Did you ever go?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, some of the older Reds might know this.
Yeah.
They had a fucking midget. I don't mean to be offensive, and don't take it wrong, but they had a midget who was one of their main hooligans.
Palace did?
Yeah, the big open end.
The Homesdale Road end.
Yeah, I was there when we lifted up the title, the last
93.
Yeah, the away game.
But you didn't have a fight with a midget.
No.
But one of their main hooligans. You didn't boot him. So we had a good win midweek against Palace, and then we got them again today. Got to win this, haven't we?
A better win than that was the night match. Mark Hughes, Paul Ince.
Oh, it was a great 2-0. Performance. Brilliant performance.
We knew this is it now.
Yeah.
But people were starting to sing, we're going to win. And then Oldham went and beat Villa. What was it, Villa?
That was on a different day, but that...
that was on the Sunday, weren't it? Yeah.
Well, we've had a few great performances at Sellers, but some were against Wimbledon as well when they were playing there in one of their several grounds. So you've seen a win today for United?
Yes. 3-1.
We had quite a reaction to...
I had an altercation with Vinnie Jones at fucking Wimbledon.
You did?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously.
What happened?
Oh, it's a typical football, Cockney footballer, isn't he?
Right, so...
You saw that? He said, Vinnie. Cockney wanker. He went, get in here. I went, come on then, fuck off. I'm not going to go in the changing room, mama.
So wait a minute. You were minding your own business and... You spoke to Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny was walking in I heard he was giving United fans a bit.
So you said to him,
Vinny, how you doing? He went, yeah. I went, Cockney wanker.
And what did he say?
Get in here, he said.
Right, and what did you do?
I went, come on then.
Yeah?
Yeah, come on then.
And what did he do?
Come on, don't fuck all the Cockney wanker.
So you're both offering each other out, you and Vinny Jones?
Yeah.
You in your prime?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been scared of him, would you? When you talked about your spell in a Japanese prison the last time you were on, that had quite a reaction.
Fucking did for me. I lost about 6 stone in weight. Fucking hell.
I reckon we need to get you back to Japan.
I know.
Are you allowed to go back there?
No, I'm bad. Oof. And they deported me to a lovely place, Nagoya.
Yeah.
Very old and historical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's a beautiful city, isn't it?
Well, I didn't really see it. I seen it from
the
air.
Are you banned from Japan?
Yeah.
How do you know? They wouldn't give you a visa?
Well, one of the lads who was with us tried to go back a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he went all the way there, landed at the airport, and he got the curly finger.
Did they? Come here.
Sit over there.
Yeah, and get back on a plane.
Straight back on the next plane.
Really? Imagine how gutted you'd be.
Oh, I'd be ill.
Well, would jet lag have even started? Or no. Could you avoid it just to go back? Prediction for today, please.
3-1.
Right.
I'm not happy with the defence.
And then Galatasaray.
Oh, welcome Tuesday. To hell.
Did you go? I was there.
No, Mal, all the lads.
I was in jail with Mal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I know, when all we
fucking rum.
Yeah.
Did you bottle it? Why didn't you go?
There might have been other reasons. I might have been on another extended holiday at
right.
the time.
Jeez. That was frightening, that was.
Was
that
it? But frightening.
Well, I was 19, Binti, and I wasn't...
Gallipoli.
I'll tell you about Gallipoli. Tell you anything you want about Gallipoli.
No, I will.
Have you been there?
No.
You know there's graveyards full of Mancunians in Gallipoli with the Manchester Regiment on?
And the Anzacs. Let's not forget them, boys.
I'll never forget the Anzacs. Yeah. The Anzacs... I was there on Anzac Day. It's a Lovely. Much bigger issue in Australia and New Zealand. And
she
I would
is.
Actually
Big
respect...
Big Jill. Get Jill on there. I've just
Hello,
come
Big
back.
Jill.
Hi, I've just come back from Australia watching the Lionesses.
Have you? Was it good?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
Absolutely amazing, yeah.
And you're here to watch the game today?
Yeah, definitely.
Jill's the Rochdale contingent.
Big United fan?
Yeah.
Are you happy with the way the season started?
Big United fan. Yeah, we're not doing too bad. Just need to push up front a bit more.
How long have you known Binsey?
Oh, a long time.
Long time.
You know Teddy, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you.
Well.
Yeah, he's coming in a minute.
Well, we were just talking about Galatasaray in 93.
Okay.
And
Teddy led the charge.
Me and your partner were held.
Speak of the
here
devil,
he is
man.
Now.
Here he is.
We were just talking about Galatasaray. You were there, weren't you?
You're mad. You've got a diva, aren't
you? My gosh, you were there, weren't you, Galatasaray? Yeah.
Of course,
that's
he was.
What made you.
You say that, right? I was a young journalist with a tape recorder in my pocket.
Yeah, remember you had the gunshots.
And when I had the gunshots on it, and when they started throwing things at us, I shouted, I've been hit by a brick, but my mate went, it was a watermelon, you knob. I was frightened there. I bet, were you, truthfully?
50-50, it got a bit moody, didn't it?
Yeah.
A bit moody? I mean, I'm younger than
Manx,
if it wouldn't have been for United fans, including yourself, at the front of that hotel would have been overrun.
The lads didn't get involved because it was that on top.
It was frightening, it really was. Good to see you anyway. Prediction for today?
Prediction, Chef?
My last prediction was 2-1, but now it's 3-2.
What, you've changed how you think it are going to go today?
Yeah.
So you think Palace are going to score two?
Maybe 2-1.
I can't have another day like that where the other team
should have a lose.
I hope so. An hour to kick off now. Tell the listeners what you just told me.
So I'm from Cork. I come over to Old Trafford maybe 3-4 times a season. So I was diagnosed with cancer in the 2020 lockdown. I suppose it was tough, but what kept me going was watching United. Couldn't go to the matches at the time, but Ollie had us playing some decent stuff at the time. I got a clear scan.
Well, you told us you had cancer, didn't you?
Yeah, so I got a clear scan in 2022.
Okay.
So I just appreciate life in general so much more now, and I really relish my trips to Old Trafford.
I remember you coming up to us and we spoke about you, didn't we?
Yeah.
So you're all clear now?
All clear as
Any
far as I know.
Any side effects or...?
Yeah, there's been some side effects, but you know, nothing too sinister.
Right.
But
good to hear.
Thank you.
And who's going to win today?
United. 3-1. 3-1.
Who's going to score?
Hoyland, Rashford and Bruno.
In what minute? Okay. Just testing your brain still on it.
Yeah.
Take care, mate.
Thank you.
I'm stood outside the away end now, and I was looking for a decent Crystal Palace fan to talk to. And these two ladies just walked up and look absolutely scared stiff of me, and they've got no reason to be. But how are you feeling? Well, what's your name, first of all?
Alison.
Where have you come up from?
Up from Sevenoaks.
How long's that taken you?
4.5 hours.
So we always complain when we go to Selhurst because it's usually midweek, it takes 6-7 hours to come on the coach. You've had to come to Manchester twice this week.
Yes, I didn't come to the first one, but my friend here did.
Okay, so you've come to both of them. What's your name?
Gail.
Where have you come from?
From London.
Right, how does it feel to come to Old Trafford twice in 4 days?
It's great, it's a good day out. Yeah? I love it, yeah.
How did you feel, first of all, about the game the other night?
I listened to it, and it was a very disappointing performance by Palace.
Yeah, the same. I was here. It was a disappointing performance, but the fans were always very supportive. It was still a nice evening, despite the 3-0 loss.
I thought that you've done really well. A difficult team to play against. Ended Man United's winning run last season. I was a bit underwhelmed with you the other night. I thought you'd be better. Is that fair or...?
That's very fair, but we've got a lot of injuries and no one to replace the injured players.
We've got a very small squad this season, so there's no strength in depth. We've basically got the usual 11 players and very little beyond that.
So when you go outside of that... So your 11 are good enough to get to 11th and 10th and 9th, but you go beyond that and it's a challenge.
Yes, because we've got injuries, so we've got no one else really to step in.
What's your opinion of Roy Hodgson, your manager?
I think he's great. Yeah, the players seem to like him.
I was a bit worried when he first came back. I wasn't sure. I was absolutely in favour of Vieira going, but I wasn't sure Roy Hodgson was the right one to come back. But actually, prove me wrong, he's done a very good job. And at this point in time, he's probably the best person to hopefully lead us forward.
The young players seem to like him, don't they? They respond well to his leadership.
Who have been your best players this season? Who should we be watching out for today? Because the team's going to be different.
Our best players aren't here, unfortunately.
Some of them. Gahey's been very consistent. Yeah. Anderson. The defence, actually, to be honest, have been pretty strong. And Decore has been very solid. Lerma, sadly, is not playing today because he's done very well. He's been probably our most successful signing.
Elise, on long-term injury.
Is not with us and will not be with us by the sounds of it for some time yet. So really wide players we're a bit struggling with. Eze can be outstanding but sometimes has quite a quiet game.
Do you miss Zaha?
Yes and no. I think too much emphasis was always put on him being the main man when we had other players that were very important to us. But at this present moment in time, probably yes, if he was fully fit, because we're struggling out wide.
What's been your greatest moment as a Crystal Palace fan? And your worst moment, your lowest point?
The greatest match ever was the semi-final in the FA Cup against Liverpool, where we'd lost 9-0 earlier in the season in the league. And it was an absolutely fantastic match. And it was we beat them in injury time at Villa Park. And then when we played, of course, Man United.
So I was listening to that game outside Main Road before our semi-final. A huge roar went up. There were a lot of Crystal Palace fans in the Manchester United section that day because it was Liverpool.
Yes, absolutely. No, it was absolutely one of the most memorable matches I'll ever have been to. And of course, the first match at Wembley was very good as well. Sadly, the replay, we didn't manage to do it, but very, very exciting. Yeah,
the 3-0 was fantastic.
Yes.
It was a great game. And then your high points?
Same.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Low points.
When we went into administration, and it doesn't even, I mean, obviously it is some time
ago
now. Can't even think, but we nearly went down and we were saved by a Doogie Friedman goal. I think it was at Stockport County.
Yeah.
On the last day of the season.
One of my friends, James Scowcroft, used to play for you around that time.
Yes, I do remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he scored a hat-trick at Plymouth away. That's what Palace fans remember him for. But he enjoyed it. He liked living in South London. He felt that it was a real team for South London and the community around the club was really strong. And
yeah, the fans are brilliant. Yeah. I mean, everyone says when they come to the ground, and away, particularly away, fans are great, the Palace fans. So it is really the local club. That's the joy, because obviously we live in an area where we're surrounded by Arsenal, Tottenham.
Even Sevenoaks.
So it can be.
So are you originally from South London and have moved out there?
Well, from Bromley, and I've moved to Sevenoaks.
So Bromley's pure Palace area.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you still get all the kind of armchair fans that say they're Arsenal or Tottenham.
But so never go.
No, but never go.
How long have you been going?
Must have been going now 45 years.
And how many games do you go to in a typical season?
Well, I've got a season ticket at home matches, so hopefully them all. And then I've been to every away match this season so far.
Not the cup match. The cup game. And you?
I've been going since I was 17, so slightly shorter. And I've got a season ticket, and this is my third away match this season. Yeah, it's great.
It's been really nice to talk to you. Can I push you for a prediction, or do you not want to tempt fate? We're terrible at home, by the way. What you saw the other night was
unfortunately,
an anomaly.
I, I feel this is not going to be go too well today. I think it's probably going to be 2-0 to Man United.
Yeah, 2-0 Man United.
What do you think of Man United? With as a club, as a fan base? Was that a complicated question for a Palace fan?
No, it's interesting. We were just commenting how there would be this would be the ground that maybe people from abroad would love to come and watch a match. So I guess that quite a number of the fans probably aren't local.
Loads are. Manchester's a big city.
Equally, I know. I mean, my relatives are all Man United fans.
From who? From up here?
Yes, my uncle used to report on Man United for The Guardian. So
what's his name?
Oh, years ago this was. So I've always kind of followed Man United, but not with any great love, I have to say.
I accept that. It's lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
This United We Stand podcast is brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Improve Easy are helping United fans save money on their energy bills by installing home improvement measures such as free solar panels, free boilers and free insulation. All you need to do is text the word EASY to 60777 to see if you qualify. There's government money there and it's aimed at helping people like you make your energy bills much better. So if you text the word EASY, EASY, to 60777, give it a go. Why not? There might be money there for you and you might be missing out if you don't. That's Improve Easy. Text 60777 to see if you might be able to get free solar panels, boilers or free insulation in your house.
There's 57 minutes gone and it's Manchester United 0, Crystal Palace 1. It was a really, really poor first half where United started brightly. That's about the best thing we can say. There are appeals from United, I think, for a penalty, handball. So Palace's only shot from Joachim Anderson flew off Delo, I think, past Andre Onana. Palace have defended resolutely, four defenders, and just in front of them they've got Will Hughes and Cheick Doucouré, and Man United have really struggled to break them down. It's been a bright start to the second half on a really dank, rainy Old Trafford afternoon. Of course it is, we were selling United We Stand. So the crowd has been lifted now because United have got to attack. Too many players have not been in the game. Thankfully one of them, Casemiro, has come to life a little bit at the start of the second, as has Palistri. I'm going to see a substitution now for United. So Garnacho's coming on. He's just been warming up in front of the Stretford end and waved to the crowd as they sang his name. And what we're also seeing now tactically is Amrabat coming much more centrally from his left back position, trying to overload. What we saw in the first half was Casemiro dropping right back between the two central defenders. So Garnacho's coming on now for Palestre.
Is number 17, Garnacho.
So you've heard the response for the crowd there for Garnacho. But it was a pretty desperate first half. Let's see if he can change the game. It's made for him. Made for anybody. So frustrating. And this is against the Palace side who are missing 7 players. I've just been speaking to one of the journalists who covers Palace, and as with the two fans we spoke to before the game, no Palace fan expected anything here. Right, let's see where we go from here. Manchester United 0, Crystal Palace 1. That's a fourth defeat in the opening 7 league games. Ben Thornley, what did you think?
you come to this stadium, and on the times when United have been trailing by a goal, you know, in all the time I've been coming here and either commentating or even, you know, even playing, you always feel as though there's going to be a grandstand finish. You just never got that feeling today. It was always going to be a different game to the one on Tuesday. Roy Hodgson is an absolute master at being able to set a team up once he gets them in front. And the goal that we conceded was poor. It was a free kick that was needlessly given away by Amrabat. Hoyland, I felt, should have cleared it with the header. Take nothing away from the finish, mind you. But we just didn't really... Yeah, we threatened a little bit in the second half, but you just never, ever felt as though we were on top enough to have gone and won the game. And we didn't have the clear-cut chances that you would have felt our possession would have turned into. And that was the way that Crystal Palace thwarted us. They lined up really well, stopped us from playing, and a lot of our game that was there on Tuesday against this lot wasn't today. Our passing, our speed of passing and moving the ball from back to front, it just everything was just too laboured.
Have you ever thought of working in the media? Right, let's talk about Palace. I realise the headlines are on United and that's going to be the main thrust, but they had their four defended well. You had Hughes and Doucouré in front of them. United couldn't break them down.
No, they couldn't.
75% possession.
Yeah, I mean, you tried telling that to Roy Hodgson in his post-match interview. How do you feel about having only 23% possession at the end of the game? He'll say, I don't care. I'm going home with 3 points. And that is because his team at half-time listened to him. They had something to hold on to, which on Tuesday night they didn't. And I said on Tuesday night that this particular fixture over these last 4 or 5 years has been a fixture for the away side. Palace have been here only 3 or 4 years ago and beaten us, yeah. And they seem to have a problem. Roy Hodgson himself is unbeaten here as a manager in 5 games, which I think might be a record. You'll probably tell me that, Andrew, at some point. But, you know, they did. They set up really well. And in Eze, they've got a player that can really, you know, sort of do something and get you up the pitch and just create that little bit of magic. But I thought they worked extremely hard to hang on to what they had, Palace. And I thought in the end, because of how poor United were on the day, I thought they were good value for the 3 points.
They were missing 7 players, Ben, Palace.
Yeah.
7. From the opening 7 league matches, United have lost 4 of them. So you can handle a freak result. We've seen them before. But I'm pretty worried.
Yeah, I can understand that. Listen, I didn't have Manchester United to overhaul City or Arsenal at the start of this season. But if I had, that'd be out the window by now, because you can't lose 4 games in a Premiership season. That would mean now that United would have to go unbeaten for the rest of this season in order probably just to get Champions League football.
Can't even score, Ben.
And that is, you know, that is a real issue. I thought that that no matter how poor Palace were on Tuesday night, I thought scoring 3 goals, not conceding, coming off the back of a result at Burnley, yeah, I really felt as though that would be the push that United needed to go and create the chances and to put teams to the sword and to win comfortably. You know, even, you know, seeing you at half time and having a nice comfortable chat because we're in control and we've got a 2-goal cushion. Today it just never ever felt as though we were ever going to get back into that game. We never really created anything that was massively clear cut to say we should have won that.
Where do United go from here? It's Galatasaray. Brentford potentially is an even trickier game.
Yeah, it
is. I've got very little confidence in United at Old Trafford at the moment.
Which is amazing after what happened last year when we lost the first game and we went the entirety apart from the Sociedad game, but I'm talking the Premier League here, yeah, unbeaten. Beat everybody, beat the best team in the world in Manchester City, beat Liverpool, beat Arsenal. We didn't beat Newcastle, did we? We only got a draw against
0-0.
Them. Yeah. But what's happened already this season, losing to Brighton, who were our bogey side here, and Palace have been, but I really felt as though these last couple of results was just that kickstart to get us to next weekend in the next round of the Carabao Cup, 3 points on the board in Europe, and finish the league campaign on 15 points, which would have had us in or around the top 5 or 6.
Yeah. 6, 7, 6.
Now, you know, before we even go into the game against Brentford, you know, you're probably looking at being roughly in the position we are now.
Well, thank you for your time.
There was some booze after the final whistle there. What were your thoughts on that? Was it fair? I understand. When we play home or away, and we play Crystal Palace, we have to win. And with all respect, and I know every game in the Premier League is difficult, and you have to play your best. But I understand that the fans are expecting a win, and we didn't win, and we lost.
Is your concern that your season's going to be like this? Kind of up and down, couple of wins, defeat, having to regroup, you know, just because that seems to be the pattern so far?
Yeah, of course, is that the concern, and we have to be more consistent. And so this is not a demand for Man United. Demand is that we get a row of wins, and so get into a series. But we have to do better than we do now.
I know it's very difficult because the game's just about ended, but do you know why it has been like this so far this season, why it's been up and down? Is there any main reason you can give us why, maybe?
I can give you reasons, but you will explain it as an excuse, and there are no excuses. We have to win.
Is Marcus Rashford's form concerning? He had such a good season last season. He's only got one goal, came off today. The crowd seems to be lifted by Garnacho as well.
Oh, I think he knows he can do better as he do now, and I'm sure it will come. He works hard, and that's what he's doing. He will net, he will finish, and it will come. But it's not going automatic. He has to invest a lot. The team has to invest a lot around him. As we have seen today, we were in the right positions, but then the decision making was not good enough, and yeah, then we don't score.
Steve.
Yeah, Eric, another home defeat. This place, you know, Old Trafford used to be a fortress. Are you a soft touch now, Old Trafford? Because lower teams who you just rightly alluded, United weren't expected to be, are coming here and winning. That's not even the big teams like Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Tottenham. We've got to come here this season.
We lost now two games in a row in the Premier League, Claire. But I wouldn't set that conclusion now. But we have to do better. That is definitely the case. And we have to show it also in our body language that Old Trafford is a fortress. That you can't get anything here. And that the only way you can go away here is with a lose, with a loss. So yeah, we have to do better here.
You just mentioned body language, and I'm not necessarily going to suggest that Palace wanted it more, but each and every player really put in a shift today. Did you feel that you had the same from your team today?
I think that I can't blame the players for that they didn't run. And they gave, I think, everything. So in the final part, in the both boxes, we didn't do well. And we only conceded three chances, and the three chances were from set plays. So that tells me we were in control. We were often in the right position in the final part, but then, as I just explained, we didn't make the right decisions. So in and off the ball. And that is, of course, very disappointing. And we have to be more clinical. We have to be more determined. So if you ask me that question, yeah, definitely. We have to be more determined if you want to score a goal. So you have to show more willingness and to get more impact and to score that goal.
Okay, last question at the back there.
Since we can push the ball into the box, but United still make some chances, is the problem of luck?
No, it's not a matter of luck. You can't explain it like this. That is, it's the form of the day. From the team, I think we get into the right spot, and then you have to make right decisions to create more. But even I think we created many occasions in front of the goal, and then you have to net. And we didn't do, and I think we only can blame ourselves.
Go on then, have your moment in the sun. Introduce yourself to United We Stand listeners.
I shouldn't think they'd be too pleased to hear from me at the moment, but Adam Sells from Crystal Palace, and very big 3 points, backs against the wall afternoon at OT. 8 players missing from the...
Seven at half time.
I've missed one. Nathan Ferguson, he's been injured that long, I'd forgotten about him as well. So 8 players...
Would he have started?
If he's probably ever fit, he would, yeah. Okay. But he was signed to be Aaron Wan-Bissaka's replacement.
Okay, so
Long he's been here. And Nathan Ferguson played 8 minutes since he replaced Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
He left in 2019. Yeah. So how many of them 8 would have probably started if they were all fully fit?
You've got Dean Henderson, of course, but obviously that's Sam's been playing really well, so... Sam's not put a foot wrong, really, so Dean would be waiting his chance, but arguably, you know, there's competition there. Nathan Ferguson, James Tompkins, probably not. Jefferson Lerma, for sure. Michael Olise, for sure. Odson Edward, for sure.
What did you make of it today?
Well, it's a game of moments, isn't it? And United, obviously, they'll be disappointed with the result, but, I mean, they had us under a lot of pressure throughout, and... You know, sometimes it's your day, and I think today there were so many balls pinging around that 6-yard area and all that. And it's very easy for fans to become annoyed, and just sitting in with you in there and listening to the press conference, you know, somebody asking the manager, are United a soft touch? I mean, on another day, those 3 go in, they win 3-1, and nobody mentions it. It's just a game of such fine margins.
I think it's because it's a 4th defeat.
Yeah, of course. Listen, I understand that from a United perspective. I'm not going to, you know, stand in front of you and say, you know, they were played off the park and there were so many other opportunities and things. I think Andre Onana made one other save from Will Hughes from about 25 yards. Yeah. But apart from that, really, Palace didn't trouble him too much. But it was one of those sort of backs against the wall. And I don't think anyone travelled after Tuesday, and I was here on Tuesday, with too much hope, but sometimes you have your day, and Roy's very good at this kind of stuff. He digs in, he finds a solution, he finds a way. You know, Palace were very limited in what they could do in an attacking sense today. No Edward, no Elise, no França, the boy they brought from Brazil, who hasn't played a second yet. They would be probably his first choice front three, but they sort of scrapped and found a way of winning, which was... not always pretty, but pretty effective, I suppose we could say.
You've seen Manchester United twice in 5 days. What's your opinion?
Personally, from a distance, I think they're still some way from being what they were, let's say, in terms of the last 20 years in that sense. But I don't think it's a very easy job. Obviously, there's a lot of expectation. You know, I think perhaps if I look at Manchester United in the way that I do, I think because of the expectancy, I suppose this happens, but they seem for me to overpay for players massively. You know, good players, but, you know, you're talking about Jadon Sancho and Michael Olise. Jadon Sancho was £75 million, Michael Olise was £8 million. Is there really a difference, you know, in that sense? You know, I think it's what's demanded by the fans. We have to spend. But there are a lot of players, I think, that are out there that probably would do the job that they probably overspend on. And I wasn't particularly impressed with Manchester United's summer transfer window. I think Mason Mount is somebody that can drift in and out of games, having seen him at Chelsea and for England. You know, the goalkeeper, I think, is, you know, very good with his feet and very capable, but I don't know that he'll save so many shots and make so many key saves. And Hoyland, obviously, it's early days, but didn't show up too much today. So, again, I think it's, you know, it's certainly a work in progress, but nobody likes to hear that at a club like this, unfortunately, do they?
Thank you for your time, Adam. I wish you a safe trip back.
You are most welcome. 6.5 hours up in the car with the train strike today.
Really?
So now we got that back to London, yeah.
And
so,
twice in 5 days.
Yeah, that's a good effort from me, I have to say.
Yeah, well done, mate. I'll get you a beer.
Cheers.
You know what's not fair? The fact that Netflix hides thousands of shows and movies from you based on your location.
and then has the nerve just to keep increasing their prices. Now, you could just cancel your subscription in protest, or you could be smart about it and make sure you're getting your full money's worth by using ExpressVPN. Well, it's the VPN that I use. I've used it for a long time, and it's the best one that I found. What you might not know is what's on Netflix in your country is completely different from what's someone in the UK, South Korea, United States is watching, if you're not in any of those countries. By using ExpressVPN, you can control the country you want Netflix to think that you're in. ExpressVPN has got over 90 countries that you can choose from. So every time you run out of stuff to watch, you just switch to another country and you can unlock new shows. And here's the best part, it's not just for Netflix. You can use ExpressVPN to unlock shows on other streaming services too. You could watch programmes on iPlayer, for example, which is the BBC one, and it's free and only available to people in the UK. ExpressVPN is also really fast, and it works on your phone, your laptop, or even smart TVs. So you can watch your shows on the big screen with zero buffering. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/United. And don't forget to use our link so that you can get 3 extra months for absolutely nothing. That's expressvpn.com/United. expressvpn.com/United to learn more. And that's it for this podcast. We're just finishing off the next issue of United We Stand. It'll be out against Brentford. We will sell the current issue one last time against Galatasaray on Tuesday night. Gulp. I mean, United have got to win that game. Lose that one in the Champions League and that'll be 2 defeats. So hopefully United will not suffer another defeat. It's hugely disappointing to lose at home against Crystal Palace. And if you're subscribed to the mag, well, we've held the price for absolutely ages despite massive cost increase. So do so before Tuesday and we'll send you the next 10 issues, either in print or you can take a digital subscription and you can read United We Stand on your tablet or your phone or whatever. There's an awful lot of stuff going in the next issue. Gutter Snipe is very busy once again and it's not great that it's like that, but that's just how it is at the moment on planet Manchester United. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Until next time, well, until midweek following the game against Galatasaray, goodbye.